Traveling the Vortex. Side trip.
Considering her childhood, it's astounding that Elizabeth I became the greatest female ruler of modern times. Would whoever is making that ridiculous noise please stop it at once?
Sorry, the safety of the entire planet could be at stake.
The Queen is anxious to see you as soon as you arrive. We have a fear that the baby may come forth early.
Baby? The Virgin Queen?
A toast to her elf, I say, and any children that she may end up having.
To the Queen.
Absolutely. To good Queen Bess.
Doctor, Her Most Gracious Majesty, Queen Mary.
Queen Mary?
If they cannot step from the path of sin, then they will be purified in the flames.
It's catching up with me. The nexus point. History. I'll cease to exist. Help me, help!
This country will be Catholic before my death, Doctor, and no man will stand in my way. I will wipe the Protestant scourge from every corner of England.
Dr. Phil here, wanting to offer some thoughts on the audio productions of Big Finish, their Doctor Who range, as well as some of the spin-offs, such as Dalek Empire, Gallifrey, Sir Jane Smith, and others. I've been a Big Finish listener for many years, shortly after they started in 1999, and wanted to offer some thoughts, especially on the earliest parts of the Doctor Who range. Because where do you start when listening to something, a body of work almost larger than all of the televised series of Doctor Who? One of the things I appreciate is that you have new adventures with classic Doctors, and I think while the adventures with Davison, McCoy, and of course adding McGann later were fabulous, I think the person most suited to Big Finish, or benefits the most, is Colin Baker's Doctor, who of course got the most shortchanged on television. The first audio I want to mention is an audio called The Apocalypse Element, which is a little ways into the main range after Big Finish introduced the character of Evelyn Smythe, who's a history professor, in the excellent story, The Marian Conspiracy. After a little bit of a tangent with The Marian Conspiracy, The Apocalypse Element is the first attempt, at least in my humble opinion, of Doctor Who going epic in audio format. You have the great political intrigue of a trans-temporal summit on the planet Arcatrix, where you have creatures like the Monan Host, which is an alien race you'll hear more in the audios, as well as Time Lords and others. And of course, what's nice is this is a story that introduces or reintroduces to the audio canon of President Romana Veratrolunder, president since we last saw her on screen in Warrior's Gate.
I am not Unit 117. I am Romana Veratrolunder. I have no choice but to let the Daleks dehumanize me, but I will not tolerate the same treatment from you.
Right. I think Evelyn has created some kind of feedback loop.
Oh, that is, after all, my forte.
Romana!
Doctor, you're wearing the wrong body.
No, I'm wearing the right body. Just not necessarily in the right order.
Exterminate! Exterminate! You will surrender!
If we do, we betray the entire universe to the Daleks.
You will surrender!
Never!
Then you must be shown the power of the Daleks.
No! Doctor!
What is it?
The crystal! The Black Dalek's going to ignite the element!
No, you can't!
The Dalek's destiny is to conquer or destroy!
Some of the other Colin Baker episodes that I find that I really appreciated would be stories such as Jubilee, which would later become Dalek in the new series. But I would say listen to Jubilee because Robert Shearman shines at his best with all sorts of interesting social commentary as well as a great amount of wit and sympathy for the Dalek, which I think is a very different flavor than we get on the televised episode Dalek.
You must get some rest, Miriam. It's a long day tomorrow.
A long, glorious day. A long, glorious, exciting, wonderful, marvelous...
Miriam, that is enough.
Doctor, I can't believe you just said that.
Oh, did I put my foot in it again?
was that?
We can play with you gently or play with you until you break. You have no right to pride.
Well, the TARDIS doesn't seem to agree with you. She's trying to move again.
What's wrong?
Well, she can't. For some reason, she's stuck here.
Stay where you are, Evelyn Smythe.
Like it or not, you will be my ally.
Doctor, the doors. They can't decide whether to stay open or closed.
Get out, Evelyn!
Good friends, you and I.
You are my prisoner.
Sleep tight. Take care of the Daleks, don't bite.
Some fans often complain about large arcs in Doctor Who, especially in the Moffat era, but you can't get bigger than the story arcs in Big Finish, to be honest, some of them spanning longer than a decade. One of my favorite Baker audios is the episode Project Twilight. Now, deals with vampires, but not those kinds of vampires, as we know from the book series Twilight. But it's excellent because you get a character named Cassie, whose importance in the Doctor Who audio ranges will become more important later.
What have you done to me? What is this place?
Don't worry. No one will find you down here. We're quite alone.
Why are you doing this?
I need you to take some special medicine for me. Problem is, whenever I've done this in the past, the patients struggle and scream in horrible agony and cause me all sorts of problems. So all these restraints are really for your own good.
Have I missed anything?
No. We were just getting to know each other, weren't we?
Please.
Reggie, pass me the syringe. Thank you. Now, Mr. Deeks, I need you to be Amelia's brave little soldier.
No, you can't.
Because this is going to hurt. A lot.
Ah! Vampires?
Don't worry. We won't bite.
Moving forward to release number 16, Paul McGann joins the Big Finish output with Storm Warning, an episode that really grabs the flavor of what it was like post-TV movie. And what's great is we introduce a new companion for this Eighth Doctor, Charlotte Pollard, or Charlie to her friends, who, in a way, not to give away some of the ending of this story, is supposed to die on the R-101 airship, but is rescued by the Doctor, therefore being a temporal anomaly whose importance plays out a great deal later.
Memoirs of an Edwardian Adventuress by Charlotte E. Pollard, Chapter 1. Candyfloss clouds scattered as the mighty dirigible soared into the black night sky.
Raise your glasses, gentlemen. I give you the R-101.
The R-101.
Ah, Frayling, over here, man, over here.
Maybe they wouldn't be singing our praises, Lord Tamworth, if they knew that this ship hadn't completed its trial.
Shh, shh, shh. Not having this, not again. Safe as houses.
On paper, sir, on paper.
Incredible. A time ship crashing. And again, and again.
I watched as the full moon shimmered into view, casting silver rays about the cabin when...
Oh no, Vortisaurs swarming to pick over the debris. Get away from there, you vultures! Leave that wreck in peace!
I need you, Frayling. The Prime Minister needs you. Your king and your country need you to be stout, dependable, and strong.
It's just like I say, if I remember my Earth history correctly, the R-101 airship took to the skies for her maiden voyage to India early in October 1930.
Yes, and?
And crashed in flames in France during a storm in the early hours of the next morning, killing everyone aboard.
What the devil's going on?
Rocked by something.
Never mind that now, Frayling. Look what that silly arse has done to my best mess trousers.
Oh, look, I'm really very sorry. I couldn't... I mean, I've, Whoops.
Now, who exactly are you, and just how do you come to be aboard my airship?
Is that the greetings over with?
What?
I'm the Doctor, by the way.
Oh, I'm Charlotte. Charlotte Pollard. Charlie to my friends.
But it might be worth keeping an eye on that one as our little adventure progresses.
They're breaking through. They're...
God speed you on your way, Airship R-101, and God bless your passengers, the true masters of the air.
A couple favorites from this season. I often look at the audio number 17, Sword of Orion, as a really interesting remake of the audio visuals story of the same name. Now, audio visuals did unlicensed audios in the 1980s and part of the 90s with Nick Briggs is the doctor. And one of the best parts is they would take the best and strongest stories from the audio visuals and remake them as Big Finish audios.
This is better than I'd hoped for. Can't see any damage. I bet the weapon systems are in perfect condition. Those squaddies in the ride will give anything for I-class equipment. We are going to make a killing.
Doctor! Doctor! Where are you?
It's gone again.
No luck, then. I thought for a moment you were going to cry out for help.
Oh, how can you be so annoying?
Anyone hear that?
Negative. What have you got, Kelsey?
Something that sounds not nice.
What's that?
What?
Stay where you are, Doctor.
You saw something?
Yes. Yes, something moving on the deck. Over there.
Doctor?
It's gone now.
Why has my revival been delayed?
In a period where we've now lost actor Nicholas Courtney playing the Brigadier, it's great to know that while he appears with Evelyn Smythe and Colin Baker in an audio before this, I have a really soft spot for Minuet in Hell, which is the 19th release of The Main Range. Now, Minuet in Hell was also a remake of an audiovisual, so part of the Minuet connection is lost since the original, of course, took place in the 18th century. But it takes place in a split-off state in the United States called Malabolgia, and the Brigadier is actually an ambassador. And I won't give away too many of the plot elements, but I have to say that while many fans, you know, moan the American accents in the story, I find the end of it a very compelling and heartfelt story for the Brigadier. And that's why I always come back to it as a favorite.
The legends of Gallifrey speak of a world where everything is horror. Horror. And pain. A world from where there is no escape. From the creatures who crawl on the crust of the land. Of the lost and the hopeless and the broken and the doomed.
Hellfire! 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 Hellfire!
Strange chap, that one. If it's all right, I may pop back again tomorrow to check up on him. Fellow interests me.
No problem, Mr. Lethbridge-Stewart. Tomorrow, any time.
The legends of Gallifrey speak of a world, and the name of the world they speak of is Hell. Hell is where I have come to last. And there can be no escape. And so I cannot escape my own.
You're a bit of a sad case, aren't you?
Now, moving on to one of the other doctors. Number 25, release 25, features Sylvester McCoy, the Seventh Doctor with Ace, and a David Tennant before he's cast as the role of the Tenth Doctor, playing a villain at Colditz Castle, a German soldier. One of the reasons why I find this a very compelling story, and of course it's there's a character of Klein, who is a person who is sent back from the future to affect history as if the Nazis had won the Second World War and had possession of the TARDIS. Now, some of the elements that are kind of hinted at in this story play again in a much later series that Big Finish do, we'll call the Klein Trilogy, which follow this very fascinating, I would call, villain in Big Finish.
You see? There's nothing to worry about.
Ace, we don't know what's out there.
It's a courtyard. Big buildings all around us. Some grass over there. I can't make out much. It's getting dark.
I've just realised where we are, Ace.
What's the problem?
No time to explain. Come on.
But we haven't even been shot at yet.
It's only a matter of time, I assure you. Run!
Ah! Doctor!
You are Britishers?
Yeah, that's right. Nazis again.
I can't
can't stand Nazis.
You will consider yourself my prisoners. For you, the war is over.
It's a girl, isn't it?
It can't be, are you sure?
It jolly well is, you know. It's a girl.
Hey, Kurt, found yourself a girlfriend.
We will learn everything about you in time, Fräulein Ace. Starting with your real name.
I suppose you're going to get your jackbooted friend here to make you talk, are you? Well, don't bother.
It is pointless trying to keep your secrets from us. We shall learn them all eventually.
Our concern is appreciated, Captain, but unnecessary.
This is Colditz Castle, right? There must be 101 ways to escape from here. That's what it's famous for.
Famous? I don't know about that. Well, if you know as much as you claim, then you'll know that this is the escapers' prison.
Right!
I mean, it's where they put those officers who've escaped from other camps. This is the most secure prison in Germany.
Moving on a bit later to audio number 33, Neverland. This is a favorite of mine. Neverland is one I actually heard out of order, which I actually heard the story that directly follows this. It's another strong story with Romano Veratrolunder. You have the character of Van Cell, who is the coordinator of the Celestial Intervention Agency, who appears in both the first audio, Sirens of Time, as well as the Apocalypse element. And while I won't give away too much of the story for Neverland, because it has a bit of a twist in regards to Peter Pan, is his character makes a great end that is dramatic in the best fashions of companion or side character departures in Doctor Who.
Doctor, of all the countless billions of people in the whole of space and time, why did it have to be you?
October the 5th, 1930. Airship R101 crashes in France. Humanian era, Earth. January the 30th, 1933, Adolf Hitler appointed Chancellor of Germany. Humanian era,
It has been a time beyond measure. Here, alone in the cold, adrift and aloof from my people, my home, once my name was hailed and feared in equal measure by friends and enemies alike.
Surely the Time Lord won't harm you, of all people.
On past form, I wouldn't like to bet on that.
Am I to assume that the agency has located the Doctor?
Madam President.
Where is he?
Drifting in the Acteon Galaxy. Doubtless the Doctor will be twisting like a slithery nematode, but he shan't be riddling off this hook this time.
I died? That's right, isn't it, Doctor? Burned in the wreck of an airship. Born on the day the Titanic sank, died on the R101... Poor, tragic little Charlotte Pollard. Her life snuffed out before it had even begun. That's how it is, isn't it, Doctor?
I am Lord Rassilon. At last, my children, you have returned to me.
Following audio, number 34, Spare Parts, features Peter Davison and Sarah Sutton as Nyssa, and is pretty much genesis of the Cybermen. And while I'm not always a great fan of Peter Davison in the audios, I do particularly think that this is one of the greatest stories that best serves his Doctor in the audio range, until, of course, the much later story that I'll get to about episode release 91.
It's taken 6 years training, but the sky's the limit today as mankind sets out on its mission to see the stars.
This area is restricted to civilians.
Why? What aren't we supposed to see?
I saw your friend. Seemed like an amiable chap.
The Doctor?
At Dodds.
What were you doing there?
What's happening?
Oh, power cut. Just when I got the lights on.
Sounds like your society's in its death throes.
Not the end of the world. You could be right. Maybe I was wrong. Maybe Mondas doesn't have a future after all.
Emergency generators! Get the backup generators running!
Keep moving.
It's too dark to see!
No one leaves! No one!
Dr. Van Allen, you are relieved of your duties.
How dare you, Zheng! All this is my work! I created... created you.
And I am superior to you. Be proud while you still have the capacity.
That travesty that was once a human being is part of it. I don't know how long it'll take. I'm not even sure I want to stop it. But I can give you a wake-up call. It's up to you, not me, to change things and stop this horror once and for all.
Clear these streets. Return to your homes. There is nothing to see.
Skipping past Doctor Who 40, which is Jubilee by Rob Sherman, we're going to look at episode 43, Doctor Who and the Pirates. Now, Doctor Who and the Pirates, coming from a person who really does not like light opera musicals, is a partial musical with Colin Baker as the Sixth Doctor and Evelyn Smythe. And what I have to say is that in addition to being one of the great aspects of very, very funny Big Finish that works very well, the story makes an interesting twist in the middle, which has some great and fabulous heart, and that's one of the reasons why Doctor Who and the Pirates will always be a favorite recommendation of mine.
You know what always goes well with cake and a cuppa? A good story. And you know what makes a good story? Pirates.
We were serving under Ezekiel Bones, the most feared man ever to sail these seas. Was near the Ruby Islands.
This is awful. Pirates!
Hang on. We've already established that.
I say, what's going on? My hammock's all wet.
Don't you worry, Captain Swanser. No pirate will take the brave Sea Eagle.
You think so, do you?
You're no pirate.
I take that as a compliment.
Not going to sing.
Cowards! You rotters! Better to die a loyal subject than succumb to the lawlessness of piracy.
I can feel it in me bones. That treasure is still there!
Treasure? Well, me name, you see. Me name's really James, see. Only they took to calling me Jem. Said he was glad he hadn't brought all the other gems home, because one was enough for him.
I'm sorry, Dr. Smythe, but this is just ridiculous.
Oh, all right. Let's say he only had one wooden leg. And what's more, I will have it!
Oh, no. You are going to sing.
Well, yes, I am.
Just two releases later, in episode 45, Project Lazarus, we get the closest thing we have since Sirens of Time to a multi-doctor story. Now, it really is two stories that happened in the same place with some of the same characters happening a good deal apart in time. Now, in Project Twilight, we have the introduction of a great Black Ops organization called The Forge. Think of it as Torchwood before the new series came back, but infinitely darker and much more insidious, with a great villain in the character of Nimrod. Here, we have the Sixth Doctor and Evelyn coming back to try to take care of finished business with Cassie. See, I told you the story would come back. And it goes terribly, terribly wrong. And in the second half, Sylvester McCoy's Doctor returns to the same place to deal with the aftermath of the things that happened in parts one and two of the four-part story. Great listening, this one.
Welcome home, Lazarus.
Ground floor, capture and certain torture.
All TARDISes have some sophisticated systems that enable us to go hunting.
That doesn't sound very Time Lordy.
You look so old, so drained, injured for just following orders.
Have you any idea what it was like? In the dark, the cold. Oh yes, vampires feel the cold.
The internet is a fascinating creation, Doctor.
The internet?
Time to arise and shine.
Why didn't you do something?
I want to know how they control the vortex.
You seem so angry.
Wouldn't you be if you'd been dumped in the middle of nowhere to scavenge off rats?
Doctor, meet the Doctor.
You're going to ruin everything.
You seem to be doing a good enough job of that yourself.
For once, don't argue. Earth is under attack by a particularly malevolent force.
Who?
Evelyn? Oh, why do you have to bring her?
I see you haven't abandoned everything from your past.
It's important to remember who we are, Doctor.
I couldn't agree more.
I think you'll enjoy this.
Next, I'm going to jump over to episode 46, which is Flip Flop, which features Melanie Bush with the Seventh Doctor. Now, many fans lament Bonnie Langford as a terrible companion, and I would say in Big Finish audios, she is fabulous. Fires of Vulcan with the Seventh Doctor, fabulous. Flip Flop is a very interesting story because it's two episodes per disc, but you can listen to it in either order, either episodes 1 and 2 first, or 3 and 4 first. And it doesn't really change your enjoyment of a story, but really makes you think a great deal about innovative storytelling in the Doctor Who audio ranges.
Greetings, citizens of Puxatawney. I would like to wish everyone a jubilant Christmas. Any humans found on the streets will be prosecuted. Fatally.
This is the only planet in the galaxy where you can find leptonite crystals.
Leptonite?
Quarks are highly allergic to leptonite, Mel.
Do not move. If you attempt to escape, you will be shot with the stun pistol. Are they moving, Sideguide Potter?
No. They're standing quite still, Master. They've put their hands up and everything.
So we get the crystals, nip back to the Pinto, and quell the quarks.
I've loved you. I've always loved your body. Let me unwrap it.
It is my duty to serve my president in any way I can. To the fullest extent of my abilities.
Did you see their machine?
This blue box. It turned up out of nowhere.
It makes sense. Stuart and Reed are in league with the Doctor and Mel, and I ordered them to go back to the Professor's laboratory.
And who might you be?
Didn't you hear the warning about the enemy agents?
Why?
We're them.
Greetings, citizens of Puxatawney. I would like to wish everyone a somber retribution day. Anyone found outdoors will be reprimanded. Fatally.
Right. Now, back against that wall. Or I will be forced to show you exactly how armed and dangerous we are.
Now, coming up to audio 50, to celebrate the anniversary of Doctor Who, Big Finish released some very interesting audios regarding villains. Of course, there's the Fifth Doctor with Omega in Omega, which is a fabulous audio. Colin Baker with Davros, of course, titled Davros. But the one I want to focus on is release 49, which is Master. This, of course, stars Jeffrey Beavers as the Master, kind of as if, I don't know, you would say that Anthony Ainley's Master's body, the stolen Traken body, you know, dies, and so then he just reverts back to the decrepit form. But it's a really interesting character study on the Master and a very interesting character study on the relationship between the Doctor and the Master.
My dearest friends, I write this letter in the hope that you will do me the greatest of favours. On the 23rd of this month, I would be honoured if you would join me here in my home for dinner. It is 10 years since my arrival in this town, an anniversary I feel I cannot possibly ignore. You've both treated me with such kindness and friendship. For the most part, the last 10 years have been more than I could ever have hoped for. Of course, recently, Perfugium has become a darker place. But for one night at least, let's forget about the darkness and spend a pleasant evening enjoying good food, fine wine, music, perhaps even some parlor games. Please help me to make my birthday, if you can call it that, a night to remember. A night to remember. So, Jacqueline, Victor, I look forward to a pleasant and relaxing evening in your company. Yours, Dr. John Smith.
Release 50 is a story called Zagreus, which has, of course, been hinted at in a number of the audios, going back as far as Project Twilight, is this big, famous creature in Time Lord mythology, and it focuses on, really, the Doctor becomes the bad guy. And it takes all sorts of... It's a fairly convoluted and complicated story, so I won't take any elements away, but it really does use a lot of the cast appearing as characters other than they would have been in the TV series. So you get Nyssa, and I won't, you know, as we should say, Sarah Sutton playing characters other than Nyssa, same thing with Peter Davison. And at the very end, you get kind of aspects of the Doctor all helping combine to save the current Doctor, which is, of course, McGann's.
He set then his course to a scar on the face of creation, where the stars lived and died in the churn of one night, and decay was the only true constant. And the gate of Zagreus opened before him, and all of the antiverse was revealed to him, and its terrible beauty ached in his hearts.
After release 50, McGann's Doctor goes into what's referred to the Divergent Universe arc. So he is no longer in our main universe, kind of similar to the E-Space trilogy, but in a very different sort of way, in that he doesn't have the TARDIS, and that he doesn't have the ability to travel through time, which of course is very difficult for a Time Lord. We'll get into that a bit more later. The next audio I was wanted to bring up is called Arrangements for War. This, which is release 57, deals with the fallout from Project Twilight. And Evelyn and the Sixth Doctor are on very bad terms with each other and they're on the verge of splitting up. And I think it is a fabulous, heartfelt, I would say almost love story that is told in the way that I think only Big Finish can. Some of the releases are very, very adult in subject matter and deal with their themes. Definitely these are audios for older fans of a sort, and I would say that Arrangements for War is definitely a favorite. And if you like the Colin Baker-Evelyn pairing as much as I do, then this one is definitely an audio for you.
Subjects of Galen, as Governor of the Republic of Kozapin, I know only too well that my people share a border with both yourselves and the people of Melendia. For centuries, my predecessors have watched your two great kingdoms locked needlessly in violent and tragic disagreement. Disagreement that has seen land and lives lost on either side. But from today, all that will truly become something for the history books.
In about a month, a race called the Killorans will invade the planet quite unexpectedly. Nasty lot. Run into them once or twice before. Humanoid with canine overtones, all angry and bestial.
I love you.
I know, but...
But nothing. I walked away from you once. I won't do it again.
We can't. We can't be together. Can we?
We can do anything.
I refer, of course, to the marriage between Christina, Princess of Galen, and Victor, Prince and Heir to the Throne of Melendia.
Actually, Commander, I want you and the boys here in Galen with me. I'll arrange a dozen visas. Your official status will be as my personal bodyguard in light of recent events. Understood?
I'm clear, sir.
I want the balance of power in this wretched country shifted. Get here as soon as you can, Pocock.
Do you want some time on your own? Some time apart? Is that it?
I'm not sure.
Do you want to leave me?
Do you love me?
Of course I love you. I've always loved you. I loved you 5 years ago.
And 5 years ago, I thought the way you're thinking now. Gardener's son, in love with the princess of the whole damn country. Stupid, it'll never happen. We said we loved each other, sure, but it was never going to happen.
Look at that horizon. I feel I could just reach out and touch it. I feel I can do anything. Evelyn, I want to feel like this all the time. You make me feel like this. I love you, Evelyn. Stay with me. I'm asking you to leave the Doctor.
Well, what do you say?
Aren't you coming to see me off?
Wait, Evelyn! Well, don't leave like this.
Marriage officially marks... officially marks the birth of the Kingdom Alliance. Uniting your people in politics as in blood...
Release 62 brings us to the Divergent arc, and it's where it all ends, dealing with Rassilon in the same way that we left him in the story Zagreus, because we have an entire series of McGann audios that have references to Rassilon, and then it culminates in Zagreus, and that connection finishes off in the Divergent arc. Now, many folks do not particularly like the Divergent arc series, and I might be one of those in that sort of feeling, but one of my favorite stories of McGann's is episode 62, which is called The Last, which is a very dark audio, but as you'll see, it's very thought-provoking.
Bortrosoi, the moment approaches when we can begin life anew. When we can once again enjoy the liberties that have been denied to us by the dark shadow of conflict. But those liberties are too often taken for granted when the world is at peace. We must cherish them. Savor them. Remember that our heroes have died to preserve them. That while the rest of us have the safety of our homes and the warmth of our families, there are some who will not be returned from the field of battle. If not in body, then at least in spirit, they will be with us on the day of the victory. Day for which my government and I have planned. The threshold of a new future for us all. With release 71, we have the story Night Thoughts, which I'm not even going to say anything. I'll let the trailer speak for it.
Will you walk into my parlor? Said the spider to the fly.
Not all photographs bring happy memories.
It was a toy. You know, a kid's doll on the table, and a guy called Haiti. Hearty, I think. And they were trying to force him to operate.
I hereby certify that I am taking my own life. No one else is involved, and no one else should be punished. 10 years ago, I made a terrible error of judgment, and God alone will be my judge. My one wish is that I am not mourned. No funeral, no flowers, no fuss. You will all know what this means.
So, this is to be a battle of the minds, is it, Doctor?
So nice of you to come unarmed.
Please don't hurt me. I've told you before. It wasn't me, it was the others. I argued your case. Please, leave me and please, go away!
Will you walk into my parlor? Said the spider to the fly.
Mother dead, father gone. We think your sister's drowned.
You know what's really freaking me out here? You. Sat here telling me all this so rationally. I've just tied up a devious clinical psychopath, and now I'm actually listening to what you've got to say.
This is a message from the future. Repeat. This is a message from the future.
Will you walk into my parlor? said the spider to the fly.
Hex! Where the hell are you? I'm lost. And I can't see a thing. Keep calling and I'll run towards you.
No! Don't run! For God's sake, don't run!
That's it! Keep calling!
Ace!
They killed her! They killed my baby! Thought she was dead! Tried to mask it out! Which one did it? Which one? I'll hunt them! I'll slice the truth out of them one by one! Gouge it out like my baby's eyes! And then...
Will you walk into my parlor? Said the spider to the fly.
Release 74 continues the story of Ace, the Seventh Doctor, joined by Philip Olivier's Hex, you know, Thomas Hector Schofield, who is a character we just met a few audios earlier, which we'll find out later is connected back to Cassie from Project Twilight. And that's one of the great things that they're able to do in the audio range is to connect in a much bigger narrative. Companions, stories of companions, stories about the Doctor. It's really quite effective. And I would say that these Life 34 is one of the most innovative attempts at storytelling. But if you don't like political allegory in your Doctor Who, because it is kind of a bit of a, I don't know, maybe an analysis of the war on the U.S. war on terror, it might not be a story for you.
I've been here for some hours now, and my contact still hasn't appeared. I'm going to give it a few.
First day, 25th hour. The Midnight News. Our top story. An explosion has rocked the business district of First City. The government
follows two others over the last two nights in second and third cities, both of which were also targeted.
Behind these recent attacks to consider what they are doing. This continuing unrest threatens to destabilize our...
Otherwise, it stops being news and simply becomes a propaganda. And I'm sure that you'll stay...
The representative of the Freedom and Democracy Party will be joining us shortly to discuss this latest...
My partner answered the door and was violently pushed aside by four security guards. They grabbed me and hauled me out into the street where I was beaten. I don't remember being taken away, but I remember the interrogation.
I won't be able to join you in the studio, but we can talk now. There's nothing else we can do to help here, I'm afraid.
You've got to let the people in the cities know what's really going on. Promise me you'll broadcast everything.
That's why he sent me here, so everyone would hear the truth.
Well, we must apologize for... Hello, can anyone there hear me?
Doctor Who The Nowhere Place, episode 84, is another one featuring Colin Baker and Evelyn. What's nice in Big Finish range is they've already done one departure for Evelyn Smythe, and they can tell their story with Evelyn and the Sixth Doctor out of order because her ultimate fate is not far away.
Fighter carrier Valiant. Comms package Alpha 704, transmitting at ship time 1340 hours, January 15th, 2197. Standard defense drills in progress. Rigorous schedule. You must be ready for the fight when it comes.
No. No, please. Don't.
No, not nowhere. There's something out there.
Sectors 11 and 12 are now clear for radiation testing.
He's our finest pilot. And he just jeopardized the operational efficiency of Earth's frontline defenses. Defenses that all our lives depend upon.
Wing leader, we show your targets now breaking for cover.
We see it, Exo. They're in pursuit.
Watch those ion trails, O'Keefe. They kill.
You know those dreams? When you go back home, your childhood home, it's a steam train.
What is it?
Well, don't you recognize the sound?
What sound?
And everything's changed.
Thank God. Thank God.
You know it should be familiar, but... Not one thing is as you remember it. As it should be.
There is no bell. Get a grip of yourself.
I heard it.
But no one else here did.
Listening. Listening at the door to nowhere.
Anything?
Shh. Did you hear that?
One of the most stunning releases out of the first 100 audios from Big Finish is Circular Time. Now, I said I'm not a particular great fan of Peter Davison in Big Finish, but that's not completely true in that this is Circular Time is told in seasons, as in spring, summer, fall, and winter, each one being a title of a story, half being written by one group of authors, the other half. Paul Cornell is involved. Excellent storytelling. And the final story is kind of an interesting, surreal representation of the regeneration in Caves of Androzani. I could not gush enough about these audios, especially Circular Time.
This is everything I ever wanted. Here, a wife and children, a home, a life based in time, surrounded by seasons, cut off from bigger things.
So who is it this time then? Alien invaders or a mad scientist?
A fellow Time Lord, strangely enough, Cardinal Zero. Well on his way to getting a seat on the High Council, and who's suddenly decided he's had enough and wants to go and live in the trees.
Doctor, what a pleasant surprise. And here I was expecting an assassin, some sneaky little interventionist.
Forgery. Of all the stupid things to be arrested for, Nessa.
Doctor, will you stop going on about it?
How could I have been so stupid not to realise that I was actually talking to...
Sir Isaac Newton, Director of the Royal Mint.
You will yield the secrets of these coins, or I will have the truth ripped from you with pliers. Until then, you will be kept alive.
It's a lovely day, and I was wondering if you might like to go out into the country.
Please, I need to work.
To Traken.
What? That was the first time I've ever done that. Don't say you're sorry, because you don't mean it.
I really don't.
Doctor, is something else troubling you?
The pressure is on. They have to win. I come here for a particular sort of time, and I've ended up with exactly the opposite.
Before leaving the main range, I wanted to mention two last stories that I think are important in the ranges of Doctor Who. And these are episode 139, which is Project Destiny, which deals with the facts that Hex, Thomas Hector Schofield, is Cassie's son, finally coming to terms with his heritage and the Forge and Nimrod.
Can't get used to London like this. 2 months since the evacuation. Still no closer to a breakthrough.
Upon this street where time has died, as if London has just stopped. But why?
Jared?
I can't tell, Mom. It's like something just disrupted the signal. Some weird energy discharge nearby in the last few minutes.
Keep trying! She wasn't the same when they took her.
What do you mean?
Something was wrong with her. Something was...
Are you okay?
It hurts. It hurts so much.
Fan out and keep your eyes open. They can come out of nowhere at a second's notice.
You never cease to amaze me, Doctor. Destruction follows in your wake, and yet you're always surprised when people start dying.
I wondered when you'd come scuttling out of the woodwork.
Listen to them! They know what you're planning! Don't you get it? They're intelligent!
The Doctor had a house once. In the garden, there was a pond. One summer, there was a weed. The weed spread, choking all other life.
Subscribers get more at bigfinish.com.
Following Project Destiny is release 140, A Death in the Family, probably my favorite of all of the recent Big Finish releases. It ties up all the loose ends. You get to see Evelyn one last time, or probably not her last time, since, you know, timey-wimey, and I said, with the Big Finish releases. But we get some of the best storytelling, which seems to be similar to what we see in Series 6 of the new series in Doctor Who.
Coming soon from Big Finish Productions, Doctor Who. A Death in the Family.
We've got a potential level 5 hostile. Repeat, a level 5 hostile.
Nobody, no one.
Doctor! Hello.
You've changed.
Regenerated.
I found the engagement ring in your sock drawer.
Is this your strange way of saying you'll marry me?
Time's up, Time Lord. Any last words?
Oh, yes. I've got last words. Several billion last words, in fact. It's high time, and nobody, no one, that you heard exactly what kind of man I am.
To understand, Peloton, the thing you need to know is no one really dies here.
I'm Henry Noon, by the way.
While you were tinkering with my cordis, you did disable the security system, didn't you? Oh, you didn't. That was an oversight.
So, here we are again, the Doctor and Evelyn, just like old times.
What is it you want, Word Lord?
So I'm going to kill everything. Everything that crawls, grows, wiggles and swims in all of reality. Bang! The whole lot. Finished, kaput, finito, completo, gone. How's that for a plan?
Nobody has that sort of power.
Evelyn!
Diverging from the main range, pun intended, one of the things that's great is how Paul McGann gets a second lease on life after the departure of Charlie Pollard, who goes on, in a very interesting timey-wimey way, to practice travel with Colin Baker's Sixth Doctor. He gets a new companion in Sheridan Smith, in Lucy Miller, in his own series of audios. And among these, the first series is a fabulous, fabulous look at arc storytelling, and I think this continues all the way from the opening, which is Blood of the Daleks.
You can drop the pretense now, Doctor. I know what you are.
We have received your distress signal.
Red Rocket Rising. Funny name for a planet.
I've heard funnier.
Go on then, make us laugh.
I've seen the old records. The stories about this sector of space, dating back to the days of the pioneers. We've forgotten so much. We felt safe here in our quiet corner of the universe.
I was there at their birth. I fought against them in countless wars, seeing their legacy in the burial pits of 100 worlds.
Now that's what I call a spaceship. Proper saucer shape and everything.
The Doctor is an enemy of the Daleks.
You are an ally of the Daleks.
It is your duty to surrender the Doctor to us. You have asked for help. In return, we expect your cooperation.
Classic Doctor Who. Brand new adventures.
This intense writing continues with the rather interesting Horror of Glam Rock, which is Series 1, Number 3, which is a great play on words from the horror of Fang Rock and is a great kind of time capsule of 70s musical goodness.
In the next episode of Doctor Who...
All the bands wind up here in the middle of the night, Tricia. If you sit in there long enough, you'll get to see all the stars there are. The best sausage and chips you'll ever get.
It just looks like a grassy old motorway services.
Oh, cripes.
Why 1974?
I was trying for your time. This is as close as I could get, as close as I'm allowed to get.
Somewhere deep inside, to shaggy and yell, exists a heaven and a hell, yeah, yell.
I've seen it all, believe you me. Most of them who stop here, they just want egg and chips. I could be a machine for all they care.
It's right outside. Do you think it can smell us?
Oh, my windows!
Doctor, those creatures are coming in!
You do this a lot, don't you? Danger like this. It's one thing after another with you, isn't it?
I don't go looking for trouble.
But it finds you, somehow, every time.
That's true enough.
Horror of Glam Rock.
Of course, this all culminates with an interesting two-part adventure called Human Resources, in which the ultimate fate of Lucy Miller is decided.
In the next episode of Doctor Who...
Hello, admin. Lucy Miller speaking.
It's a bit odd, this place, isn't it?
You tried opening your window yet?
Yes, it didn't. Think about it. When did you last go home?
Can't remember.
We never went. We just thought we did. Something's not right here. Lots of things aren't right here.
Are you the security guy?
Why are the doors locked? Oh, it's like that, is it?
Are the others brainwashed or conspiring against you specifically? Why are we locked in?
I feel like you're going to say, tune in next week to find out.
Stuff that. Let's find out now. What do you say?
Yeah, go on. I've not got much on.
Oh, no. I didn't know it was them. Why would it be them?
Going from strength to strength, Paul McGann and Sheridan Smith have a second series with Big Finish, and here's the trailer for that one.
Woohoo.
Take my hand!
What an egg! It's pushing its way through the room!
According to my readings, we're now travelling at 67 kilometres an hour.
You really are a train spotter. I bet you've got a little notebook, and I bet you lick the pencil before you write in it.
I can understand your confusion, but it is bigger on the inside than the outside.
How did you get in here?
I understand you have something to sell as a matter of urgency.
Oh, Lucy, fancy seeing you here.
I'm Elizabeth of Bohemia, a terribly important aristocrat.
Is this your first journey on the electric railway?
Time was nobody stole from His Majesty. Try to assassinate him, yes, but steal?
Oh, nonsense, not with a top speed of 65 kilometres an hour. It'll take about 15 minutes to accelerate to that.
Golly, it's small, you say.
The diamond.
You have to admit, this is the way to travel.
Series 3, of course, also continues the adventures with Sheridan Smith and the Doctor. And what's interesting is their Series 4, I Will Not Ruin Anything Here, goes from strength to strength as well. And here are both of those trailers.
Doctor Who, Orbis.
Come on. Come on, connect. No, he died. I saw it 6 months ago. Shut up!
Once I had a ship.
What? Oh, hold on!
A ship of time. Bigger on the inside than the out.
What do you mean the universe is being destroyed?
We are here by legal right.
Hurry! We are here, old doctor, old friend. I mean, it's all swirling around a bit. Lots of bipedal hominids. Lots of screaming, shouting, slamming of doors.
I've got to hand it to you, Doctor. When you mess things up, you mess them up big time. Lucy Bladen Miller!
I stopped running away from the bad things a long time ago. I fell.
BigFinish.com.
One of the greatest elements of Big Finish are the spin-off ranges, and Nick Briggs' pet project, The Dalek Empire, is an especial favorite. Dalek Empire 1 and Dalek Empire 2 tell a great and epic narrative of human subjugation, of hope, of defiance, and I think that while Series 3 with David Tennant kind of is set further, much later, kind of has a much more similar flavor, as I find, after the first three Dune books. It's a setting that involves the same subject matter, but a very different flavor.
Humanoid life forms, beware! The invasion of the Daleks has begun!
They came screaming out of the skies, gunning down anyone who wasn't fast enough to get out of the way.
Dalek Empire, an adventure on 4 CDs.
Increase the power! We must know what they are saying!
I remember what it was like before the Daleks came to Vega 6. The air was always fresh. The suns were always high in the sky. The water and the marsh lakes, always a sparkling blue.
All conquered planets will be exploited for their technological and industrial resources. Susan Mendes!
I don't want to die! You know that! I know you know that! Look, let's stop pretending. So, all right, I'll do your dirty work for you. I'll do it. I'll do it, all right? Just leave me alone.
I know what I have to do. Take control. Find Suze.
You may not ever find her.
Then I'll die trying.
Who is he? Answer!
Someone I thought was dead!
someone I'd fallen in love with. But you wouldn't understand that, would you? Just put it down to the human factor.
Empire, an adventure on 4 CDs, available now.
Another great spin-off range is the Cybermen series, and as could be said before, is kind of a sequel to Sword of Orion, and deals with many, many aspects from that story, Earth government, political intrigue, definitely among my favorite listens. And here are the trailers to Cybermen 1 and 2.
Earth has returned. Confusion and unrest following the abortive reprisal mission sent against the android menace in the Orion Zone has had far-reaching effects.
Checkpoint 6582, Midlands Collab.
Yeah, I know the drill.
I'm trying to isolate the militant groups, excise them. Give me more time.
All units converge and neutralize target.
I can discredit the Rebel Underground. I can.
We will progress. Earth will be remade as a new Mundus. The cyber race will rise again.
While I highly recommend series such as Sarah Jane Smith, audios from Big Finish, my favorite range, hands down, after hearing them paired in Zagreus, I mean them being Romana Vratralunder, played by Lala Ward, and Leela, as played by Louise Jameson, is the Gallifrey audio series. And the first series begins shortly after Zagreus with all sorts of political intrigue in a way that Gary Russell has described as the West Wing meets 24.
Did I ever tell you I was in love once? It's true. She drove me to drink. I'll be forever in her debt.
This is the life of the outsider. Why would you cross this line, Sister Leela?
When I am inside the city, old man, now that feels like outside to me.
You have been inside for many years. You have changed, for the city never does.
There was a man. They said he was my tamer, but it was not like that. We were both of us lions, happy mated in our cage. Then came the day that he did not return. As two lions, we were proud to walk the city. But one lion alone does not make a pride. There is not even the doctor. Not anymore.
For us Gallifreyans, time travel is a privilege. Others might wish to use it for undesirable ends, and so access to the space-time vortex must
control.
Be regulated.
Vortex pumps intercepted an automated capsule bound for here. Black light rods inside. That means another amateur wanting to try their tentacle and time travel.
The mighty Celestial Intervention Agency. Wrong again.
Your report tells me that a rogue individual has used your own intelligence, such as it is, first to infiltrate a time technology assessment team, and second, to steal an illicit temporal element from under the CIA's nose.
I seek information on the subversive organization known as Pre-Time.
Well now, a robot dog. That's new. Pink elephants are usually the thing.
Someone's going to suffer for this.
After all the interesting intrigue and plot twists of Series 1, we have Series 2, which begins to have the wonderful cast of characters we have, from Leela and Romana and both canines, to Coordinator Narvin of the CIA, to Inquisitor Darkhell, the Inquisitor from Trial of a Time Lord, who is set to overthrow Romana's presidency.
Romana Veretralunda! Romana Veretralunda! Romana Veretralunda!
Where's Leela? She hasn't been to see me, not even a message from K-9. I do feel unloved.
Leela has gone away.
Where?
That's her business.
Master Andred is still Master Andred.
No, he's not, K-9. He has become an entirely different person. His opinions, his views have changed.
Master Andred lived as Commander Torvald for many months. He became programmed.
Programmed? K-9, you talk like one of them, like Braxiatel or Winter.
You have allowed the President to wander into the vaults unaccompanied?
Forgive me, but what exactly is a Castellan's role in society?
In Winter's defense, Cardinal.
Narvin, the day Winter needs you to defend him, he really will be in trouble.
Place Coordinator Narvin under arrest.
What?
For abetting the escape of Andred of the House of Deeptree, for providing him with official access codes to the Matrix, and for aiding in the murder of the Archivist. Is that enough, Narvin? Or would you like to tell us of anything else?
Gary Russell has said before that if any series could do it, he wanted to do The Two Romanas. And Series 3 of the Gallifrey Audios does that in the most interesting of ways. And I have to say that with Series 2 to Series 3, we go from strength to strength, going from things like in Series 1 that are more standalone stories to a much more continuous arc. And in this format, it works exceptionally well.
Those of you who are receiving this message, heed its warning. Gallifrey has been plunged into civil war. Two very different leaders now vie for power over the Time Lords. On the one side, President Romana de Veratralunda. On the other, an evil presence from the future that has gained corporeal form by seizing a body from the past. The body of President Romana's first incarnation.
People forget that she started this war, and I'd prefer some of those who follow me to do so of their own volition.
I am aware of how many hundreds have died in the initial skirmishes, how many more have been forced regenerated and converted to her will.
Gallifrey must be galvanized from within if she is to truly stand supreme as a universal power.
I allowed aliens into Gallifrey. Was I supposed to abandon them?
What is happening? That's K-9 firing!
Surrender! Unnecessary. You will not be harmed if you surrender.
The savage has more lives than a Time Lord.
Pandora is doing this, not Romana. People of Gallifrey, you are being used to war.
What exactly is this thing?
Perhaps the means of ridding ourselves of Pandora for good. So, Romana's playing dirty at last.
Coming soon from Big Finish Productions, Gallifrey Series 4. Reborn, disassembled, annihilation, forever. Starring Lala Ward.
Your crimes are child's play to what I have achieved. Whole civilizations lie in ashes because of me. And yours may well be next.
Louise Jameson?
War should not be simple. War should be tactical and brave, fought with guile and cunning.
Miles Richardson?
Do you care so little about Romana? Hasn't she trusted you? Doesn't she deserve better treatment than this?
Sean Carlson?
As Time Lords, entire galaxies must tremble at the very mention of our name. Civilizations who oppose us will be crushed beneath our feet. It is our divine right.
Carol Ann Ford?
There is no place for us. Not anymore. No family. No friends. No protection.
Katie Manning?
You're on Gallifrey. Gallifrey is at war. Therefore, you can only be on one side or the other.
Mary Tam?
Was I to be the next? Do you want me to give up my regenerations as well?
Jeffrey Beavers?
Would you destroy our people, Romana? Would you watch an entire race die for the sake of war?
Colin Baker?
Unfinished business drew me here, perhaps. But now, we have to do what we can to help preserve this place, just as everyone else does.
And John Leeson as...
K-9. Radio link communications failing. By my calculations, you are 2,347.
Gallifrey. Coming soon from Big Finish Productions.
I hope you've enjoyed this look at Big Finish Audios, and as always, thank you guys for letting me contribute, and if you want to find Adventures in Time, Space, and Music, you can always find us at atsm.philipwcerna.com. Thanks a bunch. Take care. Bye-bye.
I'm Paddy Kingsland, Radiophonic Workshop composer for Doctor Who and The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
I'm Peter Howell, BBC Radiophonic Workshop composer for Doctor Who.
I'm Roger Lynn. I worked at the Radiophonic Workshop for many years and I was a composer on many Doctor Who stories.
I'm Mark Ayres.
Hi, this is Dominic Glynn, composer for Doctor Who in the 1980s.
I'm Nick Briggs, the voice of the Daleks.
I'm Simon Guerrier and I'm a writer.
I'm Robert Shearman.
I'm Toby Hayden.
My name is Gary Russell. And
you're listening to Adventures in Time, Space and Music on atsm.philipwcerna.com.
Been listening to Traveling the Vortex. Doctor Who and all of its associated programs are owned and trademarked by the BBC. No infringement is intended or implied.